This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome into the Autzen Audibles podcast. I'm Matt Pramer, Scoble Jared Mack on the show. Welcome to your Wednesday edition of the podcast, Hump Day. Make sure to go to YouTube, check us out. Oregon Ducks on 24/7 Sports. Check out the page there. Give it a like, give it a follow. We're posting these podcasts there as well. Good place to catch all the action. On today's show, we are running through the Pac-12 games, and the number of games to pick have been cut down considerably because we've hit conference play. And now these games really, they all matter, but these ones matter even more because you've got an opportunity to get to the Rose Bowl, and it's going to be interesting to see what teams kind of emerge as the challengers to Oregon in the Pac-12 race this season. All right, a little update on the standings here. We have got a couple different numbers from last week. Eric straight up went 8-3, 5-2 against the spread. Jared came in second place, 7-4 straight up, 4-3. Against the spread, and then I went 6-5 straight up, 4-3 against the spread. Some updated standings between the three of us. If you're tracking this stuff at home, Eric has a good lead, 24-11 straight up. He's 11-15 though against the spread. So fade his picks against the picks.
Hate it.
You're interested in doing that. Jared's got the winning record against the spread at 14-12. He's 22-13 straight up, and then I'm 21-14 straight up with a 12-12. Against the spread record. So gets you where you need to know that information. All right, let's get to these games now. First game on the docket is an early one out west. It's at 11:30 a.m. kickoff, and God, I hate that. Or Washington State goes to Utah. Game is on the Pac-12 networks. Cougars 1-2 on the year. Utah 1-2 on the year. I think it was safe to say I was expecting, you know, Utah to be probably 3-0. I was expecting Washington State probably to be 2-1, maybe 3-0 coming into this game, and yet both have losing records. Utah is an amazing 14.5 point favorite. That's a very high number, and yet seeing Washington State play last week against USC, I'm obliged to take the points here. I just don't think the Cougars are nearly as good as I thought they would be. I do think Nick Rolovich's off-field vaccination status, is he vaccinated, is he not? Is he going to follow the mandate from his governor? Is he not going to follow the mandate? I think that's turned into a distraction and can be a culprit for why this team is where they are through the first 3 weeks of the year. So give me Utah 34 – Washington State 17.
As will be the case in a lot of these games, a ton of quarterback stuff to break down here. Charlie Brewer, just before we are recording this, announced he has left the program. That was the starter for Utah. Cameron Rising, who was an Oregon recruit a couple years ago, ended up committing to Texas. Now also with the Utes, replaced him in their loss over the weekend. He was better, though, 19 for 32 with 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. It's going to be the Cameron Rising show for duration. Washington State has both their top quarterbacks hurt. We don't know if it'll be Jaden Delora or Jarrett Garantano, based upon the comments I've read from Rolovich. Delora would be their guy if he's healthy, but it sounds like Garantano is closer to being available based on comments. Utah's better. Washington State's pretty bad. I mean, I just don't think they're good. The coaching distractions you bring up, Matt, that's legitimate because you don't want to have a coach who's distracted or anyway, or poses a distraction in any way. I think that's the case. But I think ultimately, like, Washington State's just pretty bad. And this is Mike Leach was a fantastic coach and did incredible things in Pullman. And Nick Rolovich is not as good and is not going to do as good of things in Pullman. And I'm starting to wonder how long he'll be. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if the state of Washington, both schools are looking for new coaches in the next year or two. I mean, it doesn't feel great for either right now. I got Utah 36-20 covering that spread.
Yeah, I was shocked with the Charlie Brewer transfer news. I was one of Charlie Brewer's biggest advocates on this podcast, maybe on the West Coast. He has not been good at, like, frankly, at all for Utah. I think he was good against Weber State, but how much stock do you want to put into that? None for me personally. So, yeah, Cameron Rising, Eric, we watched the highlights of that game. He was pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, he's legitimately an upgrade over Charlie Brewer. And because of that and how dreadful Washington State has looked this year, I have Utah winning 34-14. I think they'll cover the 14.5 point spread, which was a surprisingly large number to begin with. But the more you think about it, it's like, well, maybe that spread actually could be higher. Could even go to like 16 or something. So we'll see actually if that spread drops because of the Charlie Brewer news, but I expect it to stay, you know, at least a double-digit favorite.
Next game on the docket, UCLA heads to Stanford, 3 p.m. kickoff Pacific time. This game's on the Pac-12 networks. And I got to say, this is going to be a game that tells us if UCLA is for real or not, because they lost a really tough game at home last week to Fresno State in like a, 10-second touchdown, you know, remaining type of a situation. And good teams that are top 15 teams like UCLA was prior to their loss last week to Fresno State, they come back and they win this game against a team like Stanford. And they look good doing it. They bounce back. I think this Bruin team can be pretty good. I also think Stanford's probably closer to what we've seen the last 2 weeks, a win over USC, a road win over Vandy, than what they were week one against Kansas State in Arlington, Texas. So I think this is going to be a close game. Give me UCLA 30, Stanford 27.
I really like Stanford, actually. I think they're the second best team in the North right now through 3 weeks, which I was not expecting to say at all after they got embarrassed by Kansas State in their opening game. But the last 2 weeks, you can certainly argue they've been far and away the second best team in the North behind Oregon. I like Tanner McKee. I think he's a really exciting young player. I also just have a hunch this one is one UCLA is going to win and win handedly. I know it's on the road. I get a little nervous about that component of it. I also get nervous of Chip Kelly's track record at UCLA just hasn't been great. You know, he obviously doesn't have a signature win quite like LSU to see what he would do in the next couple of games. But I mean, to go on bye week and then play Fresno State and lose, and I don't want to take anything from Fresno State because that team's way better than people wanted to give credit. And what Jake Kaner did was really special. And that's in part why I think I just have a hard time buying Stanford winning this game. I don't think that anyone on the schedule, maybe all year, will replicate what Jake Kaner did against that UCLA defense. So I think UCLA's offense continues to be really good. They score 41 points. I think their defense plays better against Stanford, and they hold them to 27 for a 14-point road cover for the Bruins to really, again, stake claim here that they're the second best team in the conference.
I have UCLA winning as well. I also have them covering as well. I've got them winning 42-34. I think Stanford's a good team. I really do. And I'm on the Tanner McKee hype train, thanks to Eric. I think he's got a lot of talent. Their running back trio that they like to run is really good. I just think I agree with both of you where UCLA is just a good enough team where I think they'll bounce back. That's a really tough loss for them against Fresno State. Again, Fresno State's a good team. So, if you know, compared to the other Mountain West teams that some Pac-12 opponents have lost to, this is probably a good loss if you look at it. But yeah, I think UCLA is going to come out, and I think, frankly, they're just going to score too many points for Stanford to handle. I don't think Stanford has the ability to drop 42 or 45 on UCLA's defense. Tanner McKee is good, but we haven't really seen him go and have a great day against a really good opponent. He's got a lot of natural talent and great arm strength, but we'll see how it goes. And for all of that, I think UCLA is going to cover. I think they're -5.5 on the road, but I think they'll cover that kind of easily, and I think they'll win the game.
Next game on the schedule is the first of many night games in the conference. Cal heads north to Washington for a 6:30 kickoff on the Pac-12 networks. This is your third straight game on that channel. Washington is a 7.5-point favorite against a Cal team that honestly has been really bad. And it does look like Washington has kind of figured some stuff out. They played Arkansas State. I think all three of us were taking Arkansas State, not to win, but to cover that spread, which was 16 last week at Washington. And the Huskies obliterated them. They won 52-3. Dylan Morris was 23 for 39 for 367 and three touchdowns. And the Huskies did only rush for 200 yards on 39 attempts, which is a little surprising. But Jalen McMillan, Washington's star receiver, had 10 catches, 175 yards, and a touchdown. And Taj Davis added 95 more yards. I think this Washington offense kind of figured things out a little bit against an inferior opponent. And the defense was pretty good, allowing just 268 yards of total offense. Washington is the better football team. And if I had more confidence in Cal and their offense, I would pick them to maybe cover, not win straight up. But I think this game's at Washington. And by the way, hasn't it felt like the last year and a half Washington has played like every game at home? It's just what it's
every game, every single game last year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So give me Washington 35, California 24. I just don't think Cal can like what Jared said for the last game. I don't think Cal has the offense to hang with Washington. It's going to have to be a game played in the 20s if Cal's going to win.
I think it will be played in the 20s. I don't have Cal winning, though. Cal won this meeting in 19. It was like a total rock fight kind of in 2019 game. I believe that might have been the Storm game where it was delayed like 4 hours and it finished like 2 a.m. hopefully that doesn't happen again for those attending that football game. That would be a bummer. That would really stink for them. I'd hate for that to happen. I have a hard time here because I don't think either team's very good.
Yeah.
Cal barely beat Sac State. It was 42-30. Garbers is what he is. And I think for a team to beat Washington, you probably need to throw the ball a little more effectively than what I think Garbers is capable of. So I think this is a lower scoring game. I don't think Washington's offense is fantastic, and I don't trust them to really dominate Cal defensively as well. So I'll go 24-20 Washington. I think it's pretty close. I just think these teams meet typically. It's a little more competitive, and even though I don't think either is very good, it's a Pac-12 North game that does matter for the standings, and I think it'll be as competitive as one could expect. But I don't think Cal's good enough to win.
Yeah, I'm kind of on the same boat there. My score is a little higher than yours, Eric, but I have Washington winning 34-21.
You do have the cover though.
I do have the cover, yeah. I don't think either of these offenses are really going to have a great outing. I have 34 for Washington because I think they'll get a defensive touchdown. I think Garbers is I 2 years ago, in 2019, Garbers was someone where you're like, oh, this guy's not bad. But in the last year and a half, it's been like he's almost fallen off a cliff seemingly. And Cal kind of has as well. You know, they're just not the defensive team they used to be. They're clearly not the offensive team they used to be. Washington has figured some things out last week against Arkansas State. I still don't have a lot of trust in them to run up the score and really, you know, like put away an opponent, like a Pac-12 opponent like this. So I do think they cover. I do think they get the win in Seattle. It'll be another good home win, two in a row now for Washington. So 34-21 Washington would be – another. I think it's going to be more of a rock fight than the score that I picked indicates.
Next game on the docket, This game is on FS1, 7:30 p.m. kickoff, so same time as Oregon will be playing. Oregon State at USC, and the Trojans, led by interim head coach Dante Williams, are 12-point favorites in this one. Oregon State is 2-1. USC is 2-1. And USC looked a lot better than I was anticipating against Washington State last weekend up in Pullman. Part of that, I think, is because Washington State's pretty bad. Keaton Slovis did get hurt in that first drive, never returned. Jackson Dart, freshman quarterback, he played in that game, 30 of 46, 391, four touchdowns, two interceptions. I don't think he was like earth-shattering amazing, but he also wasn't very bad. The problem is it sounds like he's also dealing with some kind of injury and might not be a full go in practice this week, which could lead to another quarterback, Mason Miller, getting the start at USC. They still can't run the football. Drake London is a beast at receiver, but I think Oregon State's offense is a lot better than we were expecting. And when they went to Chance Nolan at quarterback, he is completing over 70% of his passes in his first two starts for Oregon State. And the offense has averaged over 42 points a game in those two games. So I think Oregon State is going to cover. They are going to lose, though, and it's going to be a shootout very similar to UCLA Fresno State. It truly might come down to the team that has the ball last. Oregon State does not have the same athletes as USC, but I think they're a more fundamentally sound team than USC. So give me USC 48, Oregon State 45.
Wow.
That is a shootout.
Not expecting to be quite that close. I like it, though. I dig it. Let's go for that. I will not be picking a USC to – I will not be picking Oregon State to cover. The quarterback stuff gives me pause, though. Dante Williams said they want this to be an open quarterback competition, but both guys are hurt. So kind of hard to accomplish that. Basically, it's whoever's healthy plays. So poor Jackson Dart could go out there. And actually, I thought he was – like, two interceptions wasn't great, but he had some really good throws. He's got an impressive – definitely a impressive passer. Made some of the best throws of the week, I would say, from a Pac-12 perspective. That's not saying a ton, but but like if he's not available, like that's a bummer for them because they might have found somebody special and now they kind of have to stick with Slovis. I shouldn't say stick with him like he's a bad thing because I don't think he's terrible, but
he's gotten worse as the year's gone on.
I just think I think Jackson Dart's better than Keaton Slovis, or at least has higher upside. So if I'm USC, I'd probably prefer to have him, but if he's not available, either way, I just don't think the talent here is that comparable. USC defensively makes me nervous in this game too. I know Idaho 42-0, shut them out. And I know I agree, Matt, Chance Nolan is their quarterback. I'm happy they figured that out. I think that was pretty obvious early. It took a minute to kind of settle on that. Good on Jonathan Smith for coming to that conclusion. I think he's clearly their guy. I don't think they've got the talent though. And I don't know if there's going to be quite enough offense from Oregon State to make up for it. I think it's going to be 38-24. Trojans win and they do cover.
I kind of wanted to zag here, but I can't.
Did you like full zag and go Beavs?
No, I kind of wanted to, but I don't. It's just not going to happen. I have USC winning 44-34, so I have Oregon State covering at least. But I'm with Matt on this. I think it's going to be kind of just an offensive showdown. I think USC's talent on the perimeter and at quarterback is far superior, so that's why they're ultimately going to win. I do think Oregon State can showcase some defensive stops at points. I know 44 points won't indicate that, but I think they'll flirt with it in the first half, kind of make it a close game, give people some, you know, some Southern Cal folks some scares down there. But ultimately, whether it's Keaton Slovis or Jackson Dart, which I would prefer to see Dart, I think he's kind of good. He had some throws against Washington State where it's like, what are you doing? And then it's the no, yes throws. And Oregon State's going to put up a fight, but man, they're not going to get it. And it's going to be a tough one to lose for them.
I love when teams flirt. That's my favorite, flirting teams.
They're going to flirt, man.
Got 14 around that program.
Now, real quick, one comment about that game. I think what will ultimately keep Oregon State in it is the sloppiness of USC. I think the last 4 or 5 years, they've been one of the worst penalized teams in the conference. And Oregon State has kind of not been – they haven't been, like, the least penalized, but they haven't been even close to sniffing the bottom of the conference. And I understand USC's made a change at head coach and Clay Helton, but they are – they make stupid penalties all the time. And I think that could be what keeps Oregon State in it or what could lead to a potential upset if one were to happen in that game. Colorado at Arizona State. This is a 7:30 kick Pacific time game. It's on the Pac-12 networks. All I can think of when these two teams play, Eric, is that drive home from, I think it was the USC game. We were listening to it on the radio. And
it was one of those. I forget. Yeah.
It was an LA school, I think. And listen to the radio, Colorado kicking that game-winning field goal to
Stanford. You
know, the goofy announcer. I think this game is going to be interesting. Arizona State is a mess. They, speaking of sloppy, bad penalties, this is them. That's them to a T. Herm Edwards has a program right now that's off the rails from just composure and being able to play within yourself and not just making dumb, stupid mistakes. I don't have a lot of confidence in ASU being a good team. Problem is, Colorado's offense is putrid.
Okay, good. I'm happy you bring that up. It's an important part.
They are awful. And if you want to see bad football, I think this is the one you want to watch. But who wants to see bad football? So I think Arizona State wins only because they have the better athletes. And they have more of them. It's going to be ugly. This is a game that if the conference, please be on the Pac-12 Network. Please be on the Pac-12 Network because no one can watch. Give me Arizona State 35, Colorado 10.
You almost did it again. You almost stole my score. Jared, did he steal yours too? Did we all have the same score?
No, I'm just stunned. The 35 to 10?
I'm very close.
Is 10 too high? Like, they're off. No, dude.
It's really bad. I didn't go that low, though. Go ahead, Eric.
Doesn't this feel like a game that could have, like, 12 turnovers or something? I mean, it's too much, but a lot of turnovers. It's just, like, a crazy – just, like, it's just teams basically giving the ball to each other over and over.
I wouldn't be surprised, like, an 18-3 score, all field goals. Because they can't score.
That'd be amazing. Jared was right. I think it was a drive back from Stanford, actually, that we
had
the interaction. Because Jared and Ethan, both our interns at the time, were on the drive. And I think that was the only they went to. Do we need to rehash how bad Colorado is offensively? They were shut out by Minnesota. They gained 63 yards in that game total. That's the
so
total.
Bad.
Their first home shutout since 2012. I wrote in my notes, not buying them, which is true.
I think that's fair.
And then I wrote for ASU, at least they fought. Because, I mean, they kind of played BYU kind of tough-ish. I mean, not impressive. So I think Arizona State and Utah are like a step below USC and UCLA. And then it's Colorado and Arizona in the door, you know, just in the cellar for what's going to be an awful game this year when those teams play. Like, good Lord, that could be a disaster. But I have a very similar score to Matt. I had 34-10 Arizona State. So I think Arizona State's offense is good enough to score some points. I will admit Colorado is a good defensive football team, or at least they're pretty good there. You think about what they did to Texas A&M. I know A&M didn't have their quarterback. And even last week against Minnesota, like, I know Minnesota scores 30, but they had to work for it a little bit. So I think Colorado will hold Arizona State in check a little bit, but not enough. And their offense is so bad that 10 points almost feels like I'm giving them too much credit.
Well, and I'm giving them a whole lot of credit because I have them scoring 14 points. Somehow, some way, they are going to score 2 touchdowns, but lose because Arizona State's going to score 34. So 34-14 ASU. ASU played BYU pretty well last Saturday. They almost had a chance to win the game. They had an interception, almost returned for a pick six. BYU's running back made this unbelievably athletic play, jumping over the defensive lineman, hanging on his shoulder, and pounding the rock out. One of the best defensive plays from an offensive player I've ever seen. Anyways, ASU loses because that's what they do in big games. So this is not a big game, certainly not. And ASU is going to win this one handily. I do think Colorado's defense is good enough to make it a little bit of an impact, and maybe in the first half, but they're, as we mentioned, their offense is just putrid. So ASU 34, Colorado 14.
By the way, just really quickly, Matt, the best thing for this week for the Pac-12, they're playing each other so they can't embarrass them. Big Sky and Mountain West.
No Mountain West. Yeah, so, thank God.
Thank God that's over, hopefully.
Couple games around the conference. We're not going to pick these games, but we're not going to pick Oregon until Friday's show. If you're new to the podcast, we save our Oregon pick. They are a 28.5-point favorite right now over Arizona. I'm kind of surprised it's that high, but I think that also speaks volumes to how bad Arizona truly is. But other games around the conference or around the country that – Duck fans probably want to pay attention to. Fresno State hosts UNLV and the Fighting Marcus Arroyos on a Friday night game at 7 o'clock. That should help Oregon. Fresno State should steamroll there, and you would hope they look good on a Friday night game and kind of get a big blowout win. And then Ohio State, they have not looked good in two games in a row, or I guess one game in a row. Against, they play Akron this week, 1-2 at home, 4:30 kick on the Big Ten Network on Saturday. So if you're not going to the Duck game, you could probably catch a majority of that before Oregon kicks off if you want to see how that team goes. And a couple teams that are around Oregon in the standings, Alabama is at home against Southern Miss. They should roll there. Oklahoma, they play at home against West Virginia. I mean, maybe that's a game. Oklahoma hasn't looked really good. Oregon leapfrogged them this past week. Maybe West Virginia could pull off a surprising upset. Iowa plays Colorado State at home. Georgia on the road at Vanderbilt. Villanova is at Penn State. Game of the week is probably the big noon kickoff game, which is number 12 Notre Dame at number 18, Wisconsin. There's also an SEC game that's pretty good, Texas A&M, Arkansas. Mm-hmm. We've got an opportunity, guys, where we can watch a lot of football.
I'm excited to watch a lot of this. Unfortunately, there aren't a lot of games that I think lead Oregon to move up, because you run through the games there. Like, the teams that are 1-7 around Oregon are all kind of playing stinkers. So that part's, I guess, a bummer. But stinkers?
Texas A&M, Arkansas.
Well, I know that one. I was talking about, like, you just look at like 2-5, maybe 7's too far down rankings. But it's just, it's kind of like, okay, Georgia's going to kick some butt, and we know it's
going to. You don't have Southern Miss beating Alabama?
I just don't see it happening this weekend. Just don't see it. But, I think the game I'm probably most excited to watch is that, I mean, just from a national perspective, it doesn't have anything to do with Oregon, is that Arkansas-Texas A&M game. Because Arkansas is like this kind of sneaky team that not been very good for a while. And frankly, it's going to be fun to see an SEC team that I don't dislike because their like fan base is really annoying, beat a team that has an annoying fan base. So, I mean, it'd be fun for Arkansas to beat A&M. I hope that happens.
A sneaky game is a 12:30 kick on ESPN. Clemson goes on the road to a 2-1 NC State team. Clemson's offense has not looked good the first 3 weeks of the year. And maybe some craziness happens there. I don't know. I mean, that's probably from a Pac-12 playoff perspective, if Clemson goes down a second time, and this could be one of those games in which you have just an eye on them, see if it's close in the fourth quarter, this would eliminate them from the playoff. And it could be something to just monitor. I mean, I don't think they're going to lose, but it wouldn't be the most out of the realm possibility either. On the road, their offense has struggled.
I mean, Georgia Tech had a chance to beat Clemson. We watched that play, right? Yeah. Before Oregon kicked off. I think that might have been during the weather delay. And if it wasn't for a really good defensive play by Clemson, Georgia Tech might have beaten Clemson. And I think NC State's better than Georgia Tech. So Clemson is the one of just the top teams in general that I probably have just the least confidence in being quite as good as we think they're going to be, just from what we've seen so far. I don't know all their stats, but I there was a stat I heard that they actually have the worst or the second worst yards per play for an offense in the entire ACC, which is not a conference that has a lot of good offenses. Part of that is they played Georgia, who's probably got the best defense, but they only scored two touchdowns against Georgia Tech, and I think one of those might have been defensive. So that's not a particularly impressive top five team.
No, and if they lose twice, the ACC is out of the playoffs.
Going to do it for us here on the Austin Audibles podcast. Thank you for listening to the show. Do with these picks as you wish, but remember, no offense, Eric, fade Eric's against the spread.
Fade Eric.
Fade me. I agree.
That usually happens, and you'll make money off it. All right. Don't take mine because I'm like, I don't even have a winning record. So
don't do mine. Do whatever you want.
Don't take our advice. Is probably
don't take it. Yeah, honestly. Experts here, don't take it. We don't know anything.
All right, that's going to do it for us here on the Austin Audibles podcast. Until you'll hear us next week or tomorrow, actually, with Jason Shear of Wildcat Authority previewing this Oregon-Arizona football game. You'll hear us then. Until then, you've been listening to the Austin Audibles podcast.
Talk to you later, folks.
Peace.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.